نعم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. We continue the explanation of the Noble Quran and we'll begin a new chapter, and this is the tafsir of Surah At-Tur, the explanation of Surah At-Tur and Surah At-Tur numbers Surah 52. أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والطور وكتاب مسطور في رق منشور والبيت المعمور والسقف المرفوع والبحر المسجور. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. Here there are five matters by which Allah the Most High made an oath or swore by. He began with Wat-Tur. At-Tur, by the mount. And it is the mount upon which Musa alayhi salam was when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke to him directly. Musa ibn Imran alayhi salatu wa salam. That is because Allah the Most High spoke to him when he, Musa, was on this mount. So that's why this mount had a special honor and merit. And that's why many of the scholars concluded that the mount At-Tur, this mount, is the best of mountains and most noble. And according to their opinion, to this opinion rather, it would be better and more and noble than the Mount Hira, on which the revelation to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam took place. This is what is apparent from this opinion. However, this requires examination. That is because this mount of Hira is the mount where the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was addressed when Jibreel alayhi salam, the messenger whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent him, Jibreel, the messenger sent from Allah, began the revelation of the best revelations upon the best messengers. May Allah salallahu alayhi wa sallam be upon him as well as upon all the prophets and messengers. In addition, the Mount Hira is within the boundaries of the Mecca Haram area. It is from the place where it is prohibited to seek the game, also forbidden to cut the trees, and its place, the site of the Haram area, is the best of all places. So therefore, we can say that what the majority of the scholars, when they said that the Tur Mount is the best of the mountains, we say except for Mount Hira. Is that clear? Because of the reasons mentioned. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swore saying, وَكِتَابٍ مَسْطُورٍ, in fine parchment unrolled, في رَقٍ manshur. This inscribed book, and by the book inscribed in the parchment, there is difference of opinion amongst the people of knowledge regarding this matter, and it revolves around the term raq. Does the term raq refer to all material used for inscriptions like skins and papers, bones, stones, and so forth, or is it particular to skins and the like? If we say by the first one, then what would be intended by the book inscribed, it would be many things, including the preserved tablet and the books in the hands of the angels, the records, and also including the Noble Quran, including the Torah. So it will include many books. But if we say by the second one that it refers to the paper and the like on which normally the inscriptions are made, then in this case the preserved tablet would not be included. Rather, what would be included is either the Torah or the Quran. And those who said that it refers to the Torah preponderated and made their opinion that it is the Torah, in the sense that this verse and by the book was linked to the mount, by the mount which came before. And since the mount is the place where yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke directly to Musa when he was on this mount, so they considered therefore the inscribed book to be the Torah brought by Musa alayhi salam. While those who said that what is intended, that those who said that it is the Quran that is intended, they said that Allah mentioned the mount and then mentioned the book, which is the Quran, revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this case would have mentioned the best of revelations and messages in the children of Israel by denoting the mount, and the best of messages which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent from to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam from the offspring of Ismail. So they said, and therefore accordingly this would mean that the book intended in this oath is the Noble Quran, and by the book inscribed in fine parchment unrolled. What is meant here, that which is spread in the hands of every reciter, and this falls perfectly upon the Quran, because, and all praise is due to Allah, it is in the hands of every reciter, even the young ones of the Muslims, they recite the Quran. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swore by وَالْبَيْتِ الْمَعْمُورِ, وَالْبَيْتِ المعمور, and by the البيت المعمور, this is the third oath. in these verses. And this is a house, or the house in the seven heavens. And this house, daily 70,000 angels enter this place, and they worship Allah there, then they don't return. And another group of 70,000 then comes, a new fresh one. So according to this, what would be the number of the angels? No one would know except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who would be able to enumerate the days? Then who would be able to enumerate 70,000 angels entering this place, this house, and don't return? Also, it is said that this refers to the most frequented house of the Kaaba on earth, because it is frequented by the those making tawaf, circulation, and those in seclusion of worship, etc., and those in salah. So would then the meaning apply to both? Meaning, would the verse have the meaning, both meanings, that it refers to the house over the heavens and the that of the Kaaba? We learned in the tafsir an important foundation, that if the ayah, if the verse tolerates two meanings equally, and there is no opposition between the meanings, then it's duty bound upon us to make it applicable for both. Because the one who spoke the verse, Allah Azza wa Jal, knows as to the meanings. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not make it clear as to which one the verse would mean, then in this case, it is obligatory to take the verse to cover all the correct meanings, not the false ones. And so there is, therefore, in this, with respect to this verse, there is no opposition to have this oath made by the house over the heavens or the house on earth, the Kaaba, because both houses are magnified. The one in heavens is magnified by the people of heavens, and this one is magnified by the people of the earth. And there is nothing to prevent that. So, therefore, the correct thing is to say that this ayah is comprehensive of both, comprises both meanings. Unless there would be any indication which preponderates that what is intended is the one in the heavens, then we would restrict it to that. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated, made an oath, he swore by والسقف المرفوع, and by the roof raised high, which is the sky. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swore by the saqf al-marfu', the roof raised high. This is the sky. Qala Allah ta'ala in Surah Al-Ra'd, chapter 13, verse 2. Allahu alladhi رفع السماوات بغير عمد ترونها. Allah is He who raised the heavens without any pillars that you can see. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated in Surah Al-Anbiya 21:32, وَجَعَلْنَا السَّمَاءَ سَقْفًا مَحْفُوظًا وَهُمْ عَنْ آيَاتِهَا مُعْرِضُونَ. And we have made the heaven a roof, safe and well guarded, yet they turn away from its signs. So, this, the heaven, is a roof, and it is raised high. And Allah referred to it as a roof because it covers the entire earth. Because it covers the entire earth from all sides. From all sides. Just like the roof of the house or the room covers the room from all sides. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swore by the heavens because of what it contains from the magnificent signs, from the sun, the moon, the winds, the clouds, and the precise and perfect creation of these magnificent signs. قال الله عز وجل in Surah Al-Mulk, chapter 67, verses 1-4. الَّذِي خَلَقَ سَبْعَ سَمَاوَاتٍ طِبَاقًا مَا تَرَى فِي خَلْقِ الرَّحْمَنِ مِنْ تَفَاوُتٍ فَارْجِعِ الْبَصَرَ هَلْ تَرَى مِنْ فُطُورٍ ثُمَّ ارْجِعِ الْبَصَرَ كَرَّتَيْنِ يَنْقَلِبْ إِلَيْكَ الْبَصَرُ خَاسِئًا وَهُوَ حَسِيرٌ. Blessed is He in whose hand is the dominion, and He is able to do all things, who has created death and life, that He may test you which of you is best indeed, and He is the Almighty, the All-Forgiving, who has created the seven heavens, one above another. You can see no fault in the, no rifts, no fault in the creations of the Most Beneficent. Then look again. Can you see any rifts? So you can see no fault. Now, then look again. Can you see any rifts? Then look again and yet again. Your sight will return to you in a state of humiliation and worn out. So there are no rifts, and there are no cracks, no defects, and it does not deteriorate. This is therefore fitting to be sworn by. That's why Allah swore by the heavens, by the roof raised high. Then He subhanahu wa ta'ala swore by the sea, وَالْبَحْرِ الْمَسْجُورِ, and by the sea, الْمَسْجُورِ. The term الْمَسْجُورِ, we will explain it. One meaning is that it's kept filled, it does not flood, or it will be fire kindled on the day of resurrection. Now, contemplate the sea. It is mentioned that what is intended by the sea is that upon which is the throne of Allah. As Allah stated, وَكَانَ عَرْشُهُ عَلَى الْمَاءِ, and His throne was on water. And also said that what is intended is this sea on earth, because it is the one which is known and witnessed, and which contains, and in it, however, there are many of the amazing signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the correct opinion is this opinion, that it is the sea of the earth. That is because Al-Bahr, the article Al, refers to the known and recognized. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swore by this sea because of its magnificent signs from waves, tides, fish, and many things which we know and which we don't know. And from the greatest signs of the sea is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pointed to when he said, kept filled, masjur, according to the first meaning, masjur, kept filled, meaning it is confined, kept confined and kept filled. Now, so it is now confined, prevented by the ability of Allah, most mighty and most majestic. We know, all of us, that the earth is spherical. And this sea, if we look at it by what is necessitated by the nature, we see, then we would think that it would flood the earth, because there are no barriers to prevent it, and the earth is spherical. Now, so if we look at that and contemplate, you know, just naturally, we would think, you know, it's inevitable that it will take over the earth, flood it. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept it by His ability subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so that's why it is masjur, meaning it is prevented from flooding the earth and destroying its inhabitants. And this is one great sign of the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, if you take some water and pour it on a bowl, what would you see? You will see that the water will cover it left and right. However, this sea, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had kept it and prevented it by His ability. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, most perfect is He and most high. And just contemplate the wisdom during the flow rise and the ebb, the tides. The same sea extends greatly for some meters or some miles. Then it shrinks back. Who is the one who made it extend? And he would have, if he wished, he would have kept it, and the whole earth would be flooded with its water. The one who prevented it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why it is fitting that Allah swore by this great sign, the sea. And in the sea there are many, many signs, and it is said that there is nothing on the dry lands from animals, trees, except that there is something comparable in the sea, and even more. That is because the sea, with respect to the dry land, measures more than 70% in terms of its area. And there are many things which we don't see, the like of which on the land. And this is from the signs of Allah Azza wa Jal. And the greatest sign is that it is kept filled and refrained from flooding the earth and its people. Also, it is said that what is intended is that it will be kindled. It will be fire kindled on the day of resurrection. قال الله تعالى وإذا البحار سجرت in Surah Al-Takwir 81 verse 6, وَإِذَا الْبِحَارُ سُجِّرَتْ, and when the seas shall become a blazing fire or shallow overflow. This occurs on the day of resurrection. This water which we see now, if it would come on a burning coal, it will extinguish it. But on the day of resurrection itself, it will be kindled. And this is from the signs of Allah Azza wa Jal. And what is intended is both meanings, because there is no opposition between this and that, because both of them are from the signs of Allah Azza wa Jal. So whether we say that the term masjur is the kept, filled, refrained, or we say that it is the one which will be kindled on the day of resurrection, then all of that is from the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, what is the answer of this oath, or of the of these things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swore by? قال الله تعالى in the next verse, نعم, إِنَّ عَذَابَ رَبِّكَ لَوَاقِعَ, إِنَّ عَذَابَ رَبِّكَ لَوَاقِعَ, verily the torment of your Lord will surely come to pass. Allah swore by five things. It is as if He swore upon them five times. إِنَّ عَذَابَ رَبِّكَ لَوَاقِعَ, verily the torment of your Lord will surely come to pass, meaning it is inevitable that it will take place, the punishment, the torment of your Lord, which Allah promised, will surely come to pass. And this statement by Allah is a great and effective one, but it is only effective upon the soft heart, the heart which is in its softness is like the butter, or even more. As to the hard and rocky heart, then it gives it no consideration. It passes as if it passed over rocks. And Umar radiallahu anhu, when he used to recite this verse, he would fall ill until people, and even people will go and visit him, because of the intensity of what falls upon his heart from the effect, until he falls it to the extent that he would fall ill. Why? Because if it is even inevitable and surely to come to pass, and there is nothing to ward it off, then shouldn't we therefore be fearful of that? Certainly, by Allah we should. This is what is required and what is fitting. And his statement, subhanahu wa ta'ala, inna adaba rabbika lawaqi', meaning it must and it is sure to occur. Now, is this affirmation applicable concerning the punishment upon the believers or upon the disbelievers? Let us examine what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Ma'arij, chapter 70, verses 1-3. قال الله تعالى سأل سائل بعذاب واقع للكافرين ليس له دافع من الله ذي المعارج. A questioner asked concerning a torment about to befall upon the disbelievers, which none can avert from Allah, the Lord of the ways of ascent. So then take this verse and check it with the verse from Surah At-Tur we are explaining. We will find that in the Surah At-Tur 52:7, Inna azaba rabbika lawaqi, verily the torment of your Lord will surely come to pass. Ma lahu min dafa, none can avert, none can avert it. So it will be upon the kafirs. So the punishment and the torment of Allah Azza wa Jal upon the kafirin, there is none that can avert, neither before its occurrence nor after its occurrence. And that's why the intercession will not benefit them and would not lead therefore to lifting the punishment. As to the punishment of Allah to the believer, the sinner, then in origin that it is to pass. Every sin which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised a punishment upon, then in origin it is to pass. Yet, Allah the Most High may lift that by His favor, and He may lift it by intercession, and He may lift it by righteous deeds, which will take over the bad deeds. Don't you contemplate the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَنْ يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ. Verily Allah will not forgive that partners be set up with Him in worship, and we will forgive other than that to whom He wishes. And don't we know what the Prophet ﷺ said? No Muslim dies and a funeral of 40 people praying the funeral prayer upon him, and they commit no shirk in Allah, except that Allah will make them intercede for him, will make them intercede for him, and thus would lift the punishment. And so, in accordance with this, we say that the torment of Allah Azza wa Jal upon the kafirin is inevitable. It is surely to pass. There is none who can avert it. As to the disobedient believers, then the origin is that it is to pass. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warned His slaves and made clear to them this matter. But yet it can be lifted due to many causes. So, no one, irrespective of his rank and his power, can avert or lift the punishment of Allah Azza wa Jal. No one can ward it off, no one can prevent it from befalling, and no one can lift it if it falls. That solely belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so, nas'alullah ta'ala, we ask Allah the Most High, أن يعاملنا بعفوه, to treat us with His pardoning, وأن يغفر لنا ما سلف, and to forgive us what passed from our sins and what is present. إنه على كل شيء قدير, He is all able to do all things. وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.